It's almost beyond belief that some of the most important political decisions for our future will be made on April Fool's Day. But that is the truth. That is what's happening in London today. Jamie DeLargy has a non-foolish eye on all of it. Jamie, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
There's bound to be a better word than a non-foolish eye, but a non-foolish eye. An erudite eye, would that be an erudite eye?
Erudite, I'd take that.
Can you say your eye is erudite? However, we know what we're talking about. Right, Jamie, today is an important day and people are incredibly frustrated, aren't they?
Absolutely. Even what's happening later on this evening seems farcical because the notion was that last week we would have a number of votes and then that would really concentrate minds and then we'd come up with a few examples this evening to vote on. In fact, there are 8 motions and who knows if more couldn't be smuggled onto the voting paper. So, look, we're talking about a situation where the House of Commons is in such disarray that they are failing to coalesce around any particular option. Now, the one that has been talked about most is coming from the former Cabinet Minister, Ken Clark. He wants us to stay in a permanent customs union. And the reason why that's attracting most attention is because that was defeated, as were the other 7 last week, but the margin was smaller than any other option. That said, it attracted 264 votes, his proposal last week. The withdrawal agreement itself has, in the last time it came up, got 286. So, yes, it was defeated. But what I'm trying to say is the withdrawal agreement actually attracted more support than Ken Clark's customs union plan. So it's hard to see that it is going to emerge as being something that will command overall support when, I suppose, people concentrate and make up their minds and decide, look, we have to go for something. Will it be the customs union? Well, having said that, it's hard to see a support for it in great numbers. The reality is that you're beginning to see even someone like David Gough, the Cabinet Minister, who was talking yesterday, and he was hinting very broadly that a softer Brexit and a customs union would be a softer Brexit, that might be the way to go. So it's not impossible. And, of course, there is the option that the withdrawal agreement, Theresa May's original withdrawal agreement, would come up again for a 4th time. So, you know, it's very difficult to be definitive on anything that's going to happen, much less what the final outcome is going to be.
Much talk yesterday over those 24 hours, of course, about the Justice Minister and his attempt to scare the DUP with a reference to the weakening of the union if there's a hard Brexit. Is that going to wash with the DUP?
Well, seemingly not. Sammy Wilson made it clear that even if it comes up 1,000 times, they're going to vote down Theresa May's withdrawal agreement. But they're in a bit of a fix, really. You know, you begin to wonder, why on earth did the DUP ever support Brexit, the notion of Brexit, when it has created such problems, when it has put the union into play in a way that it wouldn't have been if we'd simply stuck where we are and continued with our membership of the European Union. I mean, why did they ever embark on such a high-risk strategy? Was getting out of the EU worth the problematic situation we find ourselves in? I mean, these are really tough questions for the DUP. Why did they do this? And I mean, it seems to me that it would have been safer for them to have used their influence to try and persuade people to stay within the EU, because it seems to be one of the options that sort of guarantees the union is not impacted.
And see, Sinn Féin leaders are going to be meeting Michel Barnier today. Critics of Sinn Féin say they've gone missing on this. Is that fair commentary?
Well, you and I know, and the listeners know, that Sinn Féin have this abstentionist policy and for that reason are not represented in terms of in voting over at Westminster. But you have to think that it is unfortunate. I do understand that. I'm not raising a debate about, you know, whether they should defy a tradition, a policy of abstentionism. But it is unfortunate that they are not there. Not just, I mean, this is not necessarily a pro-Remain point of view, you know, to simply arguing that they're there to try and semi-neutralise the DUP's position. But if they were there, it would help actually reflect what people in Northern Ireland want. Because if you were to look at simply the votes that are cast by Northern Ireland MPs, and you were to look at it and you come down from Mars, and you would think that everybody was against the EU and wanted Brexit. In reality, of course, as we all know, there was a majority to stay. So it is undoubtedly unfortunate that Sinn Féin are not over there, you know, helping to reflect the reality, is which is that we are, broadly speaking, in favour of remaining in the EU.
They'll be reminding Michel Barnier of that, but that's singing to the choir, isn't it? Or preaching to the choir, or whatever that ecclesiastical analogy is. Yes, yes.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's preaching. Look, that's fine and, you know, all well and dandy, but that's not really where the action is. The action is at Westminster, and on this occasion, we are unrepresented, or if you like, only half represented. And so that's not a desirable situation. But as I say, you know, it's like a hornet's nest when you, and I've discovered myself, when you raise this issue, you will find that Sinn Féin people are absolutely incandescent that they should ever retreat from their policy of abstentionism. And I simply don't want to go there, but I just think, like, there we are, many people, actually the majority in the country here, are thinking, well, my goodness me, why is somebody not there speaking up for me? Why is there not somebody in the House of Commons saying, look, we want to stay in the EU? And that just hasn't happened. So from that point of view, it is an unfortunate situation.
If you had to call it, Jamie, with regards to the next few days, would you be going for long extension? What would your money be on?
Well, I wouldn't pretend that I've got everything right, far from it, excuse me, but I did say, and it wasn't obvious at the time, that Theresa May would get a deal, she would be able to hatch an agreement with the EU, that she would get it through her cabinet, which, again, wasn't at all obvious. What I absolutely got wrong was that I assumed that the Labour Party would, at the very least, in large numbers, abstain, which would allow her to carry the day, and that hasn't happened. It may yet happen. It may yet happen that a few more hardline Brexiteers would go to her side. The other thing that I think I was right on, was that the Conservative Party would sell out the DUP. The DUP are adamant that the withdrawal agreement is not what they want, that it damages the union, and a very large number of Conservative MPs, there's a small minority against this, but they're willing to ignore the DUP's concerns, and that includes even Jacob Rees-Mogg, who was in that camp. So the Conservative Party, this is one of the things that the DUP will have to live with. They're, of course, not popular with the Labour Party, and now they've made themselves unpopular with a large section of the Conservative Party, because they're frustrating an attempt, as many of those pro-withdrawal agreement members of the Conservative Party would want. They're frustrating this attempt to get a deal across the line. So they're making, I would have thought they're losing friends all over the place. This has not been a good strategy for the DUP. But then, come back to your question, what do I think is going to happen? I think there is a reasonable chance that if it comes up for a fourth occasion, that she could get it across the line. I think there's a small chance. I think then that the next option would be that we will get a softer Brexit. I think for definite we will get a Brexit. Now, how, whether if they vote for a customs union in the next number of days, today, and then that is adopted by the Conservative, adopted by the government, because of course these are, as you pointed out, as we know, indicative votes. The government doesn't have to do what they're told today by the House of Commons. But if they take that on board, probably mightn't give enough time to get an understanding from the EU. So it would probably be then into a long extension while they agree a new arrangement. Although, having said that, if you then simply left on the basis of the withdrawal agreement, you could in the next stage work out a permanent customs union, because of course the default position, once we get to the end of the extension period, would be the
crush.
Customs unions. No. If we agreed the withdrawal agreement.
Yes, we
are in an extension period that happens until the end of 2020, yeah. And then we're into a backstop, and the backstop is the customs union. So, in a sense, you could buy into the agreement and then work out a permanent customs union over the next year or so. And if it didn't come to pass, you'd be in the customs union anyway.
I'm glad this is now so clear. We've now cleared it all up. But in fairness, everything you said there does make sense. But my God, it's just a reminder, Jamie, isn't it, of the circles that we've been going round and round and round and round. And you're absolutely right on everything you say. But I'm not saying you're absolutely right in everything you say politically or in terms of how you're calling Brexit, but in procedural terms, you're absolutely right. We've got to leave it at that. Thank you very much. Jamie DeLargy commenting yet again, our heads are spinning Brexit. Is there any logic to all of this?